Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. Compromise always leads us to the manifestation of sin in our lives. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 18, where we learn that sin will always take you farther than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. But it starts with a compromise. Now let's join Pastor Dave as we pick up our study in the book of Genesis.
So I was at the dentist yesterday, and they have an interesting job, hygienists, because, you know, you're alone with the hygienist in the room, and so it's really weird whenever you're alone with anybody and it's just dead silence, right? And no one's talking and you're just kind of there. But on the other side of the coin, these hygienists sometimes, they want to have full-blown conversations with you, and your gums are bleeding because they floss so hard, you know, their hands are in your mouth, and you're really kind of limited in how much you can respond to what they're saying to you. Now, I have no problem with hygienists. I'm thankful for them, but it's like, really, though, what am I supposed to do right now? Yesterday, my hygienist wanted to just talk to me about everything under the sun, and it wasn't like she was just talking. She kept asking me questions as she's polishing my teeth, as her fingers are way back by my molars, and she's asking me these questions. How big was your son that was just born? What does he look like? All these detailed questions, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how am I supposed to answer you if you keep, you know, you've got your hands in my mouth? This is kind of awkward, you know, but I understand at the same time if it's just dead silence, that's awkward too. And all of a sudden she's doing her job on my mouth and, you know, all of a sudden she goes, holy cow. She goes, what did you do to the roof of your mouth? She goes, you must have really burnt that. It looks terrible. And so I go, yeah, I actually did on Sunday night. She goes, let me guess. It was a football pizza type of a thing. I go, exactly. I said, my wife walked in the door. Sunday night's game was on. And I swear, I almost ate the box. I went at it so quick. And I burnt my mouth. How many times have I burnt my mouth in the past and have I said, I'm never going to do this again? But sure enough, you know, I just lose all comprehension and intelligent thinking. I see the pizza, and I go right for it, and I eat that thing while it's piping hot, and I burn my mouth. And I had to deal with the consequences of it all week long. It affects your taste buds. It's terrible. It's miserable. All because I couldn't wait. And I began to think about it. How many times do we do some type, partake in some type of sin? And we pay the consequences for it. The Lord deals with us. There's some type of chastisement. There always will be if you're a child of God. And you go through some type of correction. You go through some type of time where you're uncomfortable for a season. Whatever it is, there's some dealing with you on God's end. And then as soon as the wound is healed, we go right back to it. We do it all over again as if it never happened, as if that scar isn't there to remind us of the past pain that we inflicted upon ourselves. I'll tell you guys this, my week's verse so far that I've been just chewing on all week long is what John the Baptist said of Jesus Christ in John's Gospel chapter 1 when he was approaching him. He said, of his fullness we have received and grace upon grace. You see, it's all about grace upon grace, that my life and your lives, they're constantly being built upon the grace of God. And we go from grace to grace. We're constantly in need of the grace of God. John Newton, the author of that great hymn, Amazing Grace, said these things concerning this topic. First, he said one that most of us are probably familiar with. He said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be, and I'm not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. You can amen that, can't you? He went on to say in his latter years, before he went home to be with the Lord, he said, although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. You can amen that too, can't you? That I am a great sinner, but He is a great Savior. He said, this is faith, a renouncing of everything that we are apt to call our own and relying wholly upon the blood and righteousness and intercession of Jesus Christ. It's all by the grace of God. Lest the grace of God, there goes I. Grace upon grace. Certainly we see this tonight. This attribute of God extended to Isaac. This is really the only chapter we have solely devoted to this child of Abraham, Isaac. So let's read in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 26. It says this, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, some 100 years before this event. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now, Gerar is on the border of Egypt. It's where Gaza is today. It's interesting because it's the midway point between Canaan and between Egypt. Canaan what? Representing the promised land. Representing God's inheritance to his people. Egypt representing what? The world. He's in a crossroads. He's at the midway point between Egypt and Canaan, where many of us find ourselves tonight. In that in-between point, on the borderline. And the Lord appeared unto him, verse 2. And he said, Isaac, do not go down unto Egypt. And isn't it an amazing thing how the Lord is so faithful to put warnings in our way? Listen, I'm telling you right now, Dave, for your best interest, stop here. Don't go any further. You're already on the borderline. You're already treading dangerous ground. Do not go all the way to the world in the way that your flesh desires to. One of the things that I'm constantly reminded of, one of the things that I constantly need to be exhorted of, is that my flesh is so incredibly wicked and evil, and it is so incredibly willing to do whatever it takes to achieve what it desires. That my flesh will take drastic measures to be satisfied. And that if the warnings of God and the word of God isn't spoken into my life and he doesn't put those flashing signs, if there's not a rooster that's crowing, I'm going to go full-fledged. You see, he was on the path. Gerar was the pathway to Egypt. And the Lord in his grace, that's what it is, it's his grace. He didn't deserve it. He said, stop. Don't go down to Egypt. Maybe you're here tonight. And you find yourself in this place. You're on this borderline. You're trying to go to where God desires you to be, but yet you find yourself in between that place and the place that God called you from. And God is saying to you, right at the get-go of this message, stop where you are in your tracks. Don't keep going down to Egypt. Don't keep going back to what I've delivered you from. Don't go to that place that looks so, you know, wonderful to your flesh, the place that appeals to your senses. Don't go to that place where you are reigning and you're on the throne of your heart and you're able to do the things that you want to do. Stop while you're ahead. Danger lies ahead. There's not a one of us that can testify tonight. If you say that you are a Christian, that the Holy Spirit of God does not breathe these warnings into our lives. Any Christian, any true convert experiences the rooster crowing. The Lord is faithful in his grace and his mercy to do these very things. You see, and perhaps Isaac didn't even realize the road he was on. Perhaps he didn't even realize the deceitfulness and the wickedness of his heart, and he was going somewhere that maybe he didn't even realize he was going, but God did. He said, Isaac, I see what you're up to. I see what's going on. And this is the beauty of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's always going to be honest with you. He's always going to tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. He's not going to tickle your ears. He's not going to puff you up and make you feel good about yourself. Remember, as I said last week, there is no regeneration of the flesh. It's called crucifying the flesh. It's a transformation, not a regeneration that takes place within us. God is saying, I know where you're going to go. I know your depravity. I know what you're capable of. I've heard people say often to me, you know, I can never do such things. I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even wrap my mind around committing such sins. How foolish you are if you think that way. Paul said, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls. The minute that you think that you're above something, you've elevated your place to where Satan's going to swat you down like a fly. Anyone who thinks that they're standing and is incapable of committing some sin is a fool. Our hearts are messed up. And he says, do not go down to Egypt. Instead, middle of verse 2, he says, dwell or settle down, make yourself at home, literally in the Hebrew, in the land which I shall tell thee of. Now, he says something different here in verse 3. He says, but sojourn or stop over or stay temporarily in this land. You see, I want you to dwell. I want you to make your home where I'm calling you to go. Where you are right now, I want you to sojourn through. I want you to temporarily abide there, but I don't want you to reside there. I'll explain that more in a minute. He says, and as doing this, verse 3, I will be with you. I will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. You see, God is faithful and true to his word. He can't break his word. These promises that I made to your father years and years ago, I will keep. These things that I declared, I will stay true to. He says in verse 4, continuing to reiterate his promise, he says, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because remember, Jesus Christ is going to come from his seed, from his loins. He says, because that Abraham, verse 5, he obeyed my voice, and he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now check this out, verse 6. It says, in Isaac dwelt in Gerar. What did verse 3 say? God said, you're to sojourn through this land. But instead, in verse 6, it says that he dwelt. He made his home. He settled down in the land of compromise, the land of disobedience. He stopped and he stayed where he shouldn't have been. And it says in verse 7 that the men of this place asked him of his wife. Isn't this something that we've already read before? He asked of his wife, and he said in verse 7, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of this place should kill him for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Remember, we saw this very same thing happen twice in Abraham's life. Once when there was a famine in the land and he went down to Egypt. And then we saw it happen again in the land of the Philistines, right where it's happening to Isaac with Abimelech of that day. Remember, Abimelech's just a title, just like Pharaoh is. It's not an actual person. It's the title of the king. And we see the exact same actions of Abraham occurring in Isaac's life. We see him doing the exact same thing, following his dad's suit in a negative way. And he goes there, and he's in a place of compromise, dwelling in a place of compromise, going where God said he shouldn't be, dwelling in a place that God said he should sojourn to. And you see, this is the issue with compromise. This is the problem when the Holy Spirit speaks into our lives and we blow it off as no big deal. And we say, hey, it's just one little area. What's the big deal if I miss one refuel service? What's the big deal if I don't listen to God in just this one small little area? You see, this is the big deal. Compromise will always lead to the manifestation of sin. Because now I'm in a place where I shouldn't be. Because I'm doing things that God specifically told me not to, I'm in a position now to fulfill the lust of my flesh. Paul said, make no provision to fulfill the lust of your flesh. And this is why. Because you and I are little Dennis the Menaces. How many of you saw that movie in 1993 when it came out? I'm not going to ask you how many of you seen the original. Because I don't want to put anybody on the spot to answer who was around here in the original. But all I'm saying is you guys know about Dennis the Menace. And I remember in the remake of that film back in 1993 or whatever it was, I can remember because I relate to Dennis the Menace in a lot of ways, especially growing up. I always loved to do things that I was told not to do. I loved, like my mom would discipline me and she would say, do not say another word after she would spank me 17 times and then leave my room. And so I would say, yes, Mom. because she said, don't say another word. And she'd come back in the room and I would do, you know, I was just saying, yes, Mom, I was just being respectful to you, just to taunt her and to tease her. Don't worry, the Lord paid me back in Olivia. She does these very same things. She's making the weirdest faces at me at dinner tonight and just antagonizing constantly. And that was what I used to be. Well, in Dennis the Menace, I can remember this one part of the film where George Wilson, is that his name, Mr. Wilson? I don't know where it came up. Is it George? All right, it's George. He's got that big get-together, remember? And all the food's in the garage, right? And so if the garage door button gets pressed, the food's just going to go everywhere. The tables are going to flip. The food's going to go everywhere. So Dennis is staying with them because the parents didn't have a babysitter. They're out of town. You guys know what happens. And they're that plant that only blooms, what? Was it supposed to be once a year or once every however many years is about to bloom? They're all there for this big party. Dennis is sitting there. That kid's finger is just tingling and you know it. George says, you're to sit here in the garage and behave yourself. Do not touch the garage door button. I remember this story that Gail Irwin tells, that when him and his wife were going on a date, I don't know, maybe I've shared this with you guys before, and they were going on a date with another couple from the ministry, and they were old enough to watch themselves, but really, when are kids ever really old enough to watch themselves? I'm nervous tomorrow night about me and my kids being home alone, let alone when you're a teenager or you're younger growing up. You just get yourself into trouble. And Gail, for some reason, uttered these words because they had popcorn. They were watching a movie. Whatever you do, don't stick those kernels up your nose. Have a good night. As he leaves, he's at dinner. His cell phone rings. It's his oldest daughter. She says, Dad, you won't believe it. What do you mean I won't believe it? What happened? Well, sibling so-and-so just stuck the kernels up their nose, and we can't get them out. Doing exactly what he said not to do. That's what we are like, our human nature. George Wilson says, don't press that button. Little Dennis, that kid was cute. He's sitting there, you know, he's biting his lip. He's holding that finger as good as he can, and all of a sudden, he just presses it. And the food goes everywhere. Everybody sees the catastrophe that's caused, and the plant blooms, and everybody misses it. You see, that's what we're like. If you leave here with anything tonight, you're a Dennis the Menace, spiritually speaking. That's what you are, and that's what I am. God says, don't do this thing because it's going to get you into trouble. The results are going to be devastating. It's going to hurt you so bad in your relationship with me. I'm telling you in advance, but our flesh is the Dennis the Menace. And we say, don't tell me what not to do. You see, this is the issue with atheists. They're not really atheists. They just really want to be the gods of their own heart. They don't want somebody telling them how they're to live. And so instead of humbling themselves and submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ, they say, we don't believe in a God, and they're their own God. That's what atheism is. That's what people who reject Christ are. It's not the part about accepting Jesus and going into heaven. It's the part about surrendering to his lordship. I don't want anything to do with this. I want to do what I want to do. And here's the thing, guys. This is what we have to understand. Even after you're saved, that old nature, who you used to be, is still within you. It never goes away. It's not like all of a sudden you're saved and you're this super saint and you walk around and you don't struggle with anything. Daniel and I were talking about this at lunch today. I don't understand legalists. Who in the world do they think they are, or maybe you're one of them, sitting there and thinking, I can't imagine how I would fall into sin like this. I can never do what this person would do. How can you think that? If you've truly looked in the spiritual mirror and examined your heart, how can you honestly think you're above anybody? I get so uncomfortable coming up here sometimes and proclaiming the word of God because I'm so aware of my state. Tonight, I was walking my dog. I'm trying to get a new leash. My wife has a pink leash I have to walk a Shih Tzu with. I have to walk that street, and sometimes I forget it's pink, and people drive by, and they look at me funny, and I think, what are they looking at? And then I look down, I got a pink leash, a Wegmans bag in my hand, and a little Shih Tzu walking down the street. I got to get a bulldog or something. And I'm walking the dog, and I'm thinking to myself, just kind of praying to the Lord, because that's how it goes now when you have kids. There's no quiet time in the house, and right, I see you moms, amen, hallelujah, hey, the boy's got a point, you know. You walk in the dog, that's my sanctuary. And I'm walking the dog, and I'm in my neighborhood, and I'm just like, God, I can't go in front of the people tonight. I know my heart, Lord. How am I going to proclaim this message? I know the things I'm struggling with. I know the borderlines I'm on right now that I'm not wanting to turn back on. I know the areas of sin that I desperately am desiring right now. Lord, so much so that they have my mind captivated more than you do. And then I start telling the Lord, Lord, I'm not even really sorry about these things. In fact, the only reason why I'm really sorry, God, right now I'm the crazy guy, not only with the pink leash and his shih tzu, but now I'm talking to myself, arguing, using my hands as I'm walking the street with him upstairs, God. And I'm saying, God, I'm not even really sorry to you for the fact that these sins put you on the cross. I'm sorry to you right now and confessing things to you right now because I don't want the consequences. I don't want to reap what I'm sowing or what I'm about to sow. Honestly, I never even thought about your son on the cross right now. It didn't even cross my mind. That's not even the issue in my heart, Lord. I'm just telling you guys how depraved I am. I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm like, Lord, the issue is that I don't want to reap what I'm wanting to sow. I don't want to deal with the outcome of those things that my flesh is desperately desiring. And the Lord started to minister to me that he already knew. Oh, he already knew. Can you believe it? God already knew that he's omniscient. He knows everything. You can't surprise him. The scripture says that he pities you knowing that you're just dust, that you're dirt. He understands this. And then he reminded me of what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, I chose the foolish things of this world, the base things of this world, so they can't touch my glory. I thought, thank you. I was encouraged by the Spirit of God ministering to my life. But I understand the depravity of my flesh. I understand how much I hate being told no. Not just as a child, not just as a kid with things that my parents said were off limits, but now as a Christian, as a man of God, as a pastor, I struggle with the wrestling of the flesh and the spirit. And my flesh is just as rotten as it was day one when I came out of my mom's womb. My flesh will never improve. Do you understand that tonight? Your flesh will never improve. That's why you have to feed the Spirit of God within you and crucify the flesh daily. Or you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it, and neither am I. We have to sow to those things that are of the Spirit. And by the Spirit of God, we can do all things. By Christ who strengthens us, we can do all things. But if we don't completely depend upon him, if we don't take drastic measures and utterly destroy our flesh within us, we're doomed.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.